Begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachos, daf Nun Hei. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in a related discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had been speaking about regarding taking truma of figs on dried figs. And the reason why the Gemara discussed that was because it related back to the teaching of Rabbah. The Gemara had asked on his interpretation that he had said, which related back to the previous Gemara's discussion, which was speaking about the laws of this topic, of this parak of Menachos, regarding do we measure it according to how it is right now or according to what it initially was, which the Gemara said that's why you can't add something right now and do something to it because the kmitz is not going to be as the flour as it initially was. So that's what the Gemara got into the discussion where Rabbah had said that everyone agrees that if we go in how it is right now, if let's say something was originally the measurement but now it's not, so now it's not. So on that, the Gemara had asked from the halacha regarding termin to amen ala gregris, which seemingly it came out that we're going to see not like Rabbah, that we're going to be as it normally was. And that the Gemara answered, no, it's not talking about the case that we initially had assumed it was regarding meiser. Rather, as the Gemara ultimately concluded, it was talking about trumis meiser, and therefore you could do it ba'ayin yafa, so even though it's not going to be exacting, it's not difficult on Rabbah, it's not because we're going based on what it originally was, it's, even if we're going on as it is right now, you could still go ahead and do more than what normally is. So, relating to that halacha, the Gemara continues in a related vein. Tarnabon Lunna Braisa. Tarmin, according to Rashi, this referring to Trumas Meiser, which is similar to the Gemara's previous discussion that concluded that that Tanoic statement was also going in Trumas Meisers. Te'enim ala gregris. We can go ahead and take Truma of moist figs on dried figs, which as Rashi explains, it's regarding the number, which there's discussion exactly what Rashi is referring to, but it's similar to the previous Gemara's discussion that was also saying the same idea, that if we do it in numbers, that's the case that you do the moist figs and the dried figs, because if you did it based on midah, on volume, then actually you would be doing less than the necessary amount, as we explained in the previous daf. So, that says the Braisa, but that's only b'makam shur gilin lasis teinim gregers. That's only, however, if normally it's found that there are people who make their ripe figs, their moist figs into dried figs, and that it lasts for a long time that way. Or this person himself who's doing the Trumas Meisters, the Te'enim on the Gregors, he's going to make those Te'enim into Gregors at a later point in time with the figs that he has. But, V'le Gregors al Te'enim. So you're allowed to do Te'enim on Gregors if people end up making Te'enim into Gregors, they turn them into dried figs. But you can't do dried figs onto ripe figs, onto moist ones. And that's even in place where the people make their moist figs into dried figs. Doesn't make a difference. The dried figs will not qualify to be a valid trumas meiser on the moist figs. So now the Gemara explains Amar. The Tanya of the Braisa said as follows. The first halacha said that one could take trumas meisters on the figs, on the dried figs, if it's b'makom shurgin lasa teinim gregers. If it's a place where normally people make their regular figs into dried figs. So that explains the Gemara. It sounds like b'makom sheregilin in, only a place where that's normally done. But b'makom she'ein regilin lai, in the place where it's not normally done, then not. Why? Because we need to go ahead and take truma from that which is going to last. But moist figs, they rot and they're not going to last. So therefore, it's not appropriate to go ahead and use te'enim for gregris if people don't make the te'enim into gregris because it's not going to last. But if they make the te'enim into gregris, so then, okay, it'll last a long time anyway. That's going to be a valid truma on the gregris. But that is the Gemara, but hey, chidami, what's the case talking about? And that is, if there's a kohen around who you could give him the te'enim immediately, so makom shein ragla my loy. So if it's a place where people don't usually make the te'enim into gregers, why can't you give the te'enim as valid truma to give it to the kohen immediately? But what's none? We're learning the Mishnah Masechta Trumas that says makom sheish kohen. If there's a kohen around, then tari menayafa. Then the ideal is to take truma from that which is the better, which is because maybe the kohen's going to eat it right away. And te'enim that are moist are better, even though they don't last, than gregers, although they last, but they're not as good in quality as moist figs. So if there's a kohen around, why can't you take, even though it's not miskayim, but you don't have to be miskayim because it doesn't have to last, you give it to the kohen right away, why can't you do teinim on gregers? So b'shita d'leka kohen. Obviously it's talking about because there's no kohen around. So if they don't turn it into gregers, teinim are not a good option because they're going to rot before you find the kohen. But that has to come up in Amos Eva. Look at the end of the Braisa. The Braisa says, v'loy gregers al teinim. Like we said, the second halacha was saying, also b'minyan, that you can't go ahead and take gregers, dried figs, on the moist figs. And said the Braisa, v'afilu b'malkam shirogu lasa teinim gregers, and that it's even if it's a place where people make their moist figs into dried figs, Still, we don't say that ultimately the Kohen would have made his Ta'anim into Gregors anyway, so therefore you're not really making him a loss by giving him from the lower quality Gregors on Ta'anim. Rather, no, we go based on what it is right now. Right now, you're diminishing his Meiser because you're taking it from the, instead of giving him Ta'anim, you're giving him Gregors. So therefore, says the Braisa, you can't do Gregors on Ta'anim. Well, that is the Gemara, but Ve'ida like a Kohen, but if it's like you established the Braisa Tomat, that there is no Kohen, Amayloi, why can't you separate the Gregors for Ta'anim? But Vatan, that same Mishnah Masechtas Trumas teaches that Mokum She'in Kohen, if there's no Kohen around and you have to put it away until you find a Kohen and then you'll give it to him. So therefore says the Mishnah, Toyum in the Maskayim, you actually do have to take Truma from that which will last, which is Gregors. So why can't you do Gregors onto Enim if there's no Kohen? Selim Pshit the Digga Kohen. So obviously you're saying the Brayis Toman that there is a Kohen. So you have a contradiction. Reisha, you prove this Toman Deleka Kohen. Save for Digga Kohen. So the Gemara in, yes, Reisha like a Kohen, the Reisha is talking about that there is no Kohen, and since there's no Kohen, rather you have to give it in something that's going to last, and then you can't detain him on Gregors unless the Ta'anim is turned into Gregors, save for Dick a Kohen. Save for the mother is a Kohen, that's why you cannot use Gregors, you have to use Ta'anim because you have to give him the better one, not from the worst one. Awesome. Rav Papi says, Shema Mano, we can infer from the way we just crystallized the Braisa, that Dachkinon u'makminon masnit betray timely. That we contrive and we establish that the Bryce is talking about with two different cases. Like here, we said the Reish is without a coin and the Sefer is talking about with a coin. But like makminon betray tanoim, however, we don't keep it in the same case, but to say it's going like two different tanoim. Meaning here, we could have said that the Reish and the Sefer is talking about that there is no coin. Oh, but then the question is, so then why are you saying that the halacha of the Sefer, didn't we say the term in the Maskayim? So you could have said, it's a machlokes tanoim because actually there is a machlokes tanoim over the Masechtas Trumas. So you could have said that it's going like the other Tana who disagrees. And that says Rav Papa. Obviously, we don't say that. We'd rather keep it two different cases with one Tana than keep one case of the Leka Kain and saying like two different Tanoim who that there is a Tana who says it even when there is no Kain, we're not going to take him in the Maskayim. Say no, we'd rather say it like one Tana, and that's what we give it in this Deichik of saying it's in two different cases. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this parak regarding the formation and the making of the mincha, of the flour offering. It says the Mishnah, Kala Menachas, all flour offerings, nileishes bepeishim, they're kneaded with lukewarm water, and therefore, meshamen shleich mitzvah, there's also an obligation of being careful to make sure it doesn't ferment, because it could become a chametz stick. So you have to be careful, constantly being engaged in the making of the dough, so that it doesn't ferment. Now, ve'imech mitzvah shireha, and if the leftover part ferments, even the shirayim, one has violated a negative prohibition. Now, Shenem is actually going back on the Reisha, which it said that one has to be careful by the mincha that it doesn't become chametz. It's talking about before the kemitzah was done, not on after the kemitzah was done when we're talking about the shirayim, which is the second halacha. The Gemara will explain the source for the second halacha. Here, Shenem is going on the pasuk of Yikra, going on the first halacha, that you have to be careful with the part that goes to Hashem, meaning before the kemitzah. Kala mincha shat tekriv v'lashem. Any flour offering which is sacrificed that brought near to Hashem, loisiyas chametz, and I'll make it the chametz. So you see that every mincha has to be safeguarded that it does not become chametz. Now, additionally, says the Mishnah of Chayv Alishasa regarding this prohibition about the mincha being chametz. Again, besides two exceptions we said in the opening Mishnah, the Chayv Alishasa, the liability is for kneading it, chametz tig valerichasa, and for shaping it valafiyasa, and for baking it. Now the Gemara asks, as we had mentioned, Menon Emili, from where do we know the second halacha of the Mishnah, that there's a liability with the shirayim, with the leftovers, that one violates a negative prohibition, because like we said, the pasuk brought in the Mishnah only teaches us regarding the kaimitz, before the kaimitz is done, which goes to Hashem, like the pasuk is tomad deol Hashem. How do we know regarding the second halacha, that even that which the kahanim eat, even that, there's a prohibition, negative prohibition, of making a chametz stick? So Amar Shlakish says, because Damakar, the pasuk says, Miyikra, loisi of a chametz, don't bake it chametz. Now, the way the pasuk is generally met, there's a comma over there, and it says, Chelkam, their portion to the Kanim, I gave them from the fires of Kachay Kachim, like Kachadis Kachim. However, it could be read in one sentence, Lo Yisiyaf HaChametz Chelkam, which teaches, Afila Chelkam Lo Yisiyaf HaChametz, even their portion, that of the Kanim, also has the prohibition of baking it Chametz. Now, that is the Gemara B'Hai L'Hachi Yudas, is that really what this pasuk is coming to teach, the second halacha of our Mishnah, of even the Shirayim being Chametz? But Haimin Boyle L'Gitanya, but we need to teach a different halacha, which is taught in the following Braisa. Braisa says, Lo Yezu Ketintim Adbeis Se'afi Chametz. The pasuk says, don't bake the Mincha Chametz. Matamalem, what's the pasuk teaching? But like Kfar Nemel Le'Si'as HaChametz, is already a general terminology that says, don't make the Mincha Chametz. Why do you need another pasuk that says, don't bake it Chametz? Says the Brayso lefisha nemali siyasa chametz, because since it says don't make your chametz, yochel lo yechayv alachas ka'al kolim, you would think, okay, there's only one liability for all the activities done and making a mincha chametz stick. Tamalim lo siyafa, that's what the pasuk teaches. Another pasuk, don't bake it chametz. Now, afiyah bachlal haisa, baking was included in all the activities in the asiyas of making the mincha chametz. Lama yatzis, why was it specifically mentioned? Lahakash allowed to compare to afiyah, to tell you ma'afiyah, just like baking of the mincha, miyuchedis is distinct, shi ma'isichidi, that it's its own individual activity, it's its own ma'isichashiv. V'chayavna lebef ne'atzman, as we see in the pasuk, that is a distinct liability for it itself. Afani evi li shasav, arichasa, soto, I'll include all those other activities, like we said in the Mishnah, of kneading and shaping, b'chol ma'isichidi shaban, all distinct activities involved in the activity of making the mincha, which, what is this? Come to include, says the Gemara. Lasui kituv comes to include when they put water on the surface of the dough, even though that's not such a distinct activity, that shuhumayisichidi, which is its own distinct activity, that there's going to be a separate liability for that activity. And v'chayov nolam b'fnatzman, like the Brisa concludes, and that there's going to be a liability for that itself. But one thing we see is that this pasuk l'siyafa chametz chelkam is not telling you this halacha, as we said for the halacha of our Mishnah, that even on the Shiraim there's an isra of making chametz. Rather, it's saying that to come to include all distinct activities, that the liability is even for each individual activity. Says the Gemara, no, anan, us, that we said this drush of the Mishnah regarding Shiraim, michelkam kamrinan. From the fact that, yeah, Lo Yisrael HaChametz is teaching you like this Brice that we just quoted as saying, to include all these distinct activities. But we were saying in the explanation of Halacha the Mishnah, for the fact that after that says the word Chelkam, which is actually part of a different part of the Pasuk. But since it says the word Nirid, comes to tell you that even Chelkam you're not allowed to make Chametz. But on that is the Gemara, okay, Be'ema Kulu Lahachi, then maybe say the whole Pasuk is coming for the Shiraim Hudasa, that's coming to teach, like it says, Chelkam. And therefore, regarding the kneading and the shaping and the baking, to say that there's a separate liability, whether regarding the kemitzah or the shiraim, how do you know that from? Maybe the pasuk is only teaching loisiyafa chametz chelkam regarding the shiraim or the halacha of our Mishnah. And that's just the Gemara. No, imkain, because if that would be the case, licht of the pasuk should have written the word chelkam first. Chelkam loisiyafa chametz. Their portion don't make it chametz, because that's what you say in the whole pasuk is coming to say, not regarding the regular asiya the mincha, because that we have another pasuk loisiyasa chametz. My loisiyafa chametz chelkam. Why I say don't bake a chametz and then the word chelkam? So although you could read a loisiyafa chametz chelkam, but if it was only on chelkam, it should have said the word chelkam first. Shamit minatarti. So therefore, we could infer two things. One thing, there's loisiyafa chametz, which what's that coming to say? To compare everything to afiyah, to say each distinct activity is a separate liability, and also the word chelkam afterwards comes to tell you the isra of shirayim also to make it chametz. Now, however, the Gemara asks, ve'ema afiyah the part barachmana. Say, the one that the Torah specified was regarding baking. That was the one that was removed from the general category of being specified of don't make it chametz. Say, l'chayev chada. Yeah, for that you'll be liable its own distinct liability. But inach, l'chayev chada kulu, but regarding the rest, should all be liable just one liability and not be liable a separate one for each one. How do you know that all of them are going to also be? Maybe it's only the one that was excluded, which is going to get its own liability, that of baking. Says the Gemara, no, Mishum, they have a double shoy bachlal. Because this falls into the one of the 30 hermeneutic principles that are in the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, that baking was in the general category of liability of making a mincha chametzik. The yatzim in aklal, alama, and it was removed from the general category to be specific to teach. It's not coming to teach only regarding itself. Rather, coming to teach on the whole general category. What? Just like it is a ma'is yichidi that's miyuchedes, that's going to be liable. So too, all ma'is yichidim are going to be liable. Now, on that as a Gemara, but maybe say it's a different drasha. Maybe it's not a yosem and aklal alamit. The ema say as follows. There's two psukim. Say loy seyasa is a klal. Don't make sounds like all types of makings. That's a general category regarding the isachomets of a mincha. Loisiyafa prat, don't bake, is a specific. What type of making? Baking. You have what's known as a klalu prat, a general and a specific. There, that's another one of the yigam amidah shatern udeshaben, is ein b'chlal al-mashav prat. There's nothing in the category but what is written in the specific. Maybe, say, afiyah in midah chin yaloi, maybe the liability to make a mincha chametzik is actually only baking and nothing else. That amir poitri ki, he says, no. Shum to have a klal prat amruchokim zem zem. Here the klal and the prat, these two different psukim, are very distant from each other. The loy seyase is in Vayikra. Loy seyafa is in Parashat Tzav. Whenever you have the klal and prat distant from each other, ain't done noise b'chol prat. We don't qualify it as a klal prat, and therefore that's why we said it's rather we're learning it as a dava hayitzam and a klal. It's little lama latzam yatzah el lama klal kuli yatzah. However, the Gemara asked, "Mazer Rav Adi Bar Abba v'amalak kadiyin." Some say it was without attribution, or that was the name of a Amira. V'klal uprat merchakin zemizeh. Is that really so? When there's a klal and prat distant from each other, ain't done leisa b'klal prat. Then we don't qualify it as a klal prat. But v'tanya we learn the brayso. They quote the pasuk in Vayikra that's by the sar of the nasi. When the nasi sins, he brings a he goat. Now the pasuk says, "But they v'shachat oisib b'mkayim asheyishcha to'ila v'nei Hashem." So you should slaughter it in the place where the oila is slaughtered in front of Hashem. Chatasu, it's a sin offering. Now, hechan oila nishchata. So it's saying that the sar nasi to be slaughtered where the oila is. Now, where is the oila slaughtered? But tzaf, in the northern part of the azar, like it says by the oila, al yerach mezbech tzavayin, there should be on the side of the altar towards the north, as it says in Sefer Biyikra. So afsep tzaf, and so it's teaching here that the sar nasi, his chatas should also be in the north. Now, and that is the brayso of Achi Anu Mekan LeMeiden. Is this where we learn that the Sar Nasi, his Chatas has to be in the north from the Eila? Well, like Kvar Neman, there's a different passage that says, B'mkoyim asher tishchat Eila, tishchat HaChatas. It says, wherever you slaughter the Eila, that's where you slaughter the Chatas. Now, the Sar of the Nasi is a Chatas, just like Ula the Chatais. So, Halam Mazayatza. So, what was the specific necessity of mentioning the Sar Nasi to say it's in the north like an Eila when we know all Chatas are already in the north like an Eila? Says the brayso LeKavoy, to make it permanent because of what's known as the Talmudic dictum of Shana Lova Kasav La'akev. When the Pasuk repeats a halacha, seemingly unnecessarily, it's coming to say it's mandatory, that it's ma'akev, that it's going to be integral. She'im lo shachar eisab itself in Pasuk, that if it's not slaughtered in the north, it's actually invalid. Now, says the Brayso HaTo'im L'Kach Yatzis, are you saying, is that really why we're specifically mentioned? Oyeina elo, maybe no, maybe the reason why it was specifically mentioned was to tell you shezet toin tzafin, only the sar of the nasin needs the north, vein achar toin nasin tzafin, and maybe actually all of the chatas do not need to be slaughtered in the north. Well then how do I explain the pasuk that says bimkoyim asher yishcha to'ila tishcha tachatas? That would be told by the sar of the nasi. Maybe that's what this second pasuk is coming to teach you. That it's actually only the sar of nasi that's like the oila, that chatas needs the north, but actually all of the chatas do not need. Tamalayma, that's what a third pasuk comes to tell you when it says v'shachar es hachatzis b'mkayim ha'ili, slaughter the chatzis in the place where the oili is. Ze bona'av l'chol chatoyis shatun esafin. This is a building block to tell you that all chatoyis need the north, not just the sar of the nasi. Now, based on this brisa, the Gemara asks as follows. So it sounds like from the brisa, time of the kasuv v'achmon v'shachar es hachatzis. Because the Torah wrote the third pasuk v'shachar es hachatzis, that's how we know it's all chatoyis that need the north. If not for the third pasuk, Havimin, I would have said, Shezet toin tzafin, v'nachar toin tzafin. If I only had those two pasukim, I would have said that which one needs the north? Only the sar of the nasi. That's why it's specifically mentioned. But all of the chatos do not need the north. My time, what's the reason? Lav mishum nav klal prat, because we would have learned these two pasukim as a klal and a prat. You have the pasuk that says, Tishachar achatas. When it says, where the oil is slaughtered, that's where you slaughter the chatos. That's a klal. It's including all chatos in the north. Then you have the pasuk by the sar of the nasi, which said v'shachar oisai, you should slaughter it, which is specific. It's only mentioned the sar of the nasi and no other. And v'ava gavnim ruchakun zemezel, although these two pasukim are far from each other, v'shachar oisai is in meyikra, tishachar achatas is in parashat tzav. And still, you see from the brayso that don noisel chalal prat, you would have still qualified as a chalal prat if not for the third pasuk. That's difficult on what we just said before, that we don't say chalal prat when they're far from each other. Now, on this question, Maskev L'Ravash, he says, high klal pratu? You're learning the brisa by saying that if you only had the first two psukim, the reason why we would have thought it was only by the sar of the nasi is because of klal prat? It's not even a klal prat. Prat u klal hu, it's actually a different one of the yidgam amidah shatun yadashban. It's actually the specific first and then the general category. Because v'shachar isi is written first, and then the parashat tzav is we have the klal. And actually, v'nasa klal moisav al prat, when you have a prat then a klal, the general category includes on top of the specific, v'shrabalu kol mili, actually we include all chatois. And still, we would be back to the question, then why do you need the third pasuk, v'shachatas achatas, b'mkayim asher yishchatas ha'ila, what do you need it for? To the contrary, how could you say that we would have thought because it's a klal prat, it's actually not, it's actually a prat and klal. And actually, it is even difficult now, actually, if it's a prat to klal, so why would we need a third pasuk? Why would we ever think that's only by the sar d'nasi? Ella, rather, the Gemara answers the question by saying that Tanam, the difficulty was not because of a klal prat. No. A klal prat, like the Gemara answered before, that are distant from each other, is not a difficulty. Because you don't say a klal prat when they're different, when they're distant. Rather, v'hachikama. This is what the Tana of the Bais was explaining. Maybe it's saying that only the Sar Nasi needs Saf and Vein Achatah and Saf, and then maybe no other Chatas needs the North. Why? Because by the Sar Nasi, that causes a Prat, because it says the exclusionary term of it. It needs the North to tell you that maybe all of the Chatas do not need the North. And maybe the first Pasi that was saying, wherever the Eilis Lord, that's where you saw the Chatas, is only by the Sar of the Nasi. That's why you need to have the third Pasik to say that no, it's not only by the Sar of Nasi, it's actually by all Chatas. Now, based on this, the Gemara asks, so Bahashti de Nafkalei mi Veshachar Esachatas, now that we actually do have this third Pasik, that we don't say that all the other Chatas do not need the North, but only the Nasi, but rather we're saying that all Chatas do need the North, so Eistad Lemute Mai. So then actually, so what does Eistad come to exclude? And as Rashi points out, you can't say that maybe it's coming to say that only the Sar of the Nasi is Ma'akev, like we said before, but actually all of the Chatois are not going to be Ma'akev if you don't slaughter in the North. Because as the Gemara says in Perek Yizim, Mekayim, and Zavachim, and Tesim, and Aleph, that the slaughtering of Kachim, we learn out that it needs to be in the North, Bein LaMitzvah, Bein La'akev, we have sources that it is Ma'akev. So then what is Isaac coming to exclude? So says the Gemara, Lamute is coming to exclude, as the parenthesis says, Nachshin, Shachat, Oif, the Pesach, Simon, that's the mnemonic for the different answers that the Gemara attempts to explain what is Oif say ultimately, if we don't need it to exclude other Chatayas, what is it excluding regarding this halacha being slaughtered in the North? So says the first Gemara's answer, to tell you Oif say b'tzafin, it's telling you that only the Sar of the Nasi is in the North, but Ve'ein Sar Nachshin b'tzafin, but the Sar of a different Nasi in history, that actually, that of Nachshon ben Amminadav, which was the first of the Nasiim, when they brought the Seiri Chatas, by the Chunukat HaMizbeach, and the reason why we mentioned Nachshon was because he was the first of all of them, we're excluding those Seirim that they didn't need to be slaughtered in the North, because they weren't coming for a sin like all of the Chatois. Now, so why would we have thought that it needs to be in the North? So, I mean, you would have thought to say, since it's included, as we're going to shortly show, that although they're not chatois from sins, but they're chatois, and therefore they're included, that they need to have smicha on them, they have to be leaned on by the owner, l'srabi namelin safin, so it would be the same as all of the chatois, they would also have to be slaughtered in the North. Kamash malam, that's what's being excluded from the pasuk of Isai, that no, only this sar of the nasi needs when he sins, but that of the nasiim at the times of the mishkam, the chanukas and mizbech, that didn't have to be slaughtered in the North. Now, that is the Gemara of Smicha Guvman on. How do we know that actually for the leaning on the animal that was required by the Sar of Nachshon? The time like Linda Bryce, it says in the Pasuk, B'samach Yodei al Reisha Sar, that a person, he has to lean his hand on the head of the He-Goat, which is there written in the Parashah of the Sar of the Nasi, when the Nasi, a leader of the Jewish people, sins. The Pasuk could have said, B'samach Yodei al Reisha, that he leans his hand on it. We're talking about the animal. What's al Reisha Sar? L'rab b'sar Nachshon l'smich, it's coming to include that even the Sar of Nachshon, of those Nasiim, that they also had to do this halacha b'samach yadai, that's the Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Shimon, the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is explained later on of Tzadik Beis and Mabeis, as you continue to have an involvement in Aleph, he says actually, no, what this is coming to include by the extra word al-Rish HaSar, and it doesn't say al-Rish Ay, is the Rabbi Sira Beitz Kecham L'smich, it comes to actually include a different Sar, a different Higot, that when someone does idolatry, that animal needs to have smicha, but not to include that of the Nachshon. Now, so therefore, Maskel Ravina, he has to Tainach L'Rabbi Yehuda, we understand according to Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we just showed, he includes the Sar of Nachshon for smicha, so therefore you would have thought that same thing applies to Tzofen. That's why we have to explain that Eisai, by the Sar of the Nasi, is excluding the Sar of Nachshon from being slaughtered in the North. But Rabbi Shimon, Michael, remember, what are you going to say according to Rabbi Shimon? According to him, you don't have an answer for what is Eisai coming to exclude, because we would never have thought that it's excluding the Sar of Nachshon, because we would never thought that it's included, because it doesn't even have smicha for sure, it doesn't need to be slaughtered in the North. Now, moreover, actually, the Gemara doubles down on the question. Amali Mazdoja Bereder of Mori Lorvina says, what made Rabbi Yehuda Nami? The question is even according to Rabbi Yehuda. My dis Rabbi is Rabbi, what was included was included. What do we find by the Sar of Nachshon? That they needed smicha. My de lay is Rabbi, what was not included was not included. So therefore, I would never have thought that it needs the North to be excluding it. And Vachitim, if you're going to say no, Eloi Mate Kro, had we not excluded the Sar of Nachshon from being slaughtered in the North from the word Oisai, Havimina would have said, Tase Bibinyav, which learn from Binyav, which are basically the concept known as Mamatin, what we find. Just like other Chatois need to be slaughtered in the North, so too over here, it's a Chatas, so it also has to be slaughtered in the North. And that says the Gemara, no, you can't say that. Because if you're telling me that you would have thought it's included in the category of Chatas, so then why do you need a Ribui for Smicha? Like Rabbi Huda learns a Ribui from the extra word Hazar. But if that's the case, then you would have thought it needs the north, because it's just like all of the chatois, then for smicha itself, the pasuk should have also been quiet from the pasuk al resha sar by smicha. V'teisim, we should have learned by the karban of nachshon of all the nesim to do smicha, but been enough. And we would have said, just like we find by other chatois need smicha, so do this one also require smicha. Allah obviously says the Gemara, Shah Midaris Layafin. You don't learn that something that was one time in history from something that applies to future generations, and that's why you need a special pasuk to include this the Se'irma of the Nesi'im to have smicha. So Hachanam here also, why would you need to exclude the Sar of the Nesi'im from being slower in the north? Why would you have thought? Because other Chatois? No, Shah Midaris Layafin. You don't learn that something one time in history from future generations, and therefore we would never have thought, even according to Behuda, that it would require north to exclude it, and therefore the Gemara has to find a different answer as the Gemara continues on the next daf from the Siman that we said. The first one was Nachshon, then it continues with other attempts to explain. So then, what is Aisai by the Sar of Nasi coming to exclude if, as we had shown from the Brisa, that it's not excluding other Chatois, because all Chatois needs the north? So rather, the Gemara goes on to attempt to find, so what is it excluding? It's not excluding that of the Nachshon, like we said, because we would never have thought it needs the north, because you don't learn that from Darius, to say that you have to exclude it from the halacha of being slaughtered in the north.